During the final months of World War II, the population of the Netherlands experienced one of the worst famines of the war, an 8-month period known as the Hunger Winter. And to survive, people resorted to eating tulip bulbs in things like this Dutch stamppot. So thank you to Hungryroot for sponsoring this video as we survive the Hunger Winter, this time on Tasting History. For centuries, one of Holland's most important exports has been tulips, and every year, millions of tons of dormant tulip bulbs are stored in warehouses before being replanted. But at the end of World War II, these bulbs were destined not for gardens and bouquets, but for the dinner plate. During the final months of the war, the country experienced one of Western Europe's worst famines, and so people turned to eating things like nettles, sugar beets, and tulip bulbs. Now, sugar beets sound like they should be very edible, and they are if they are boiled for a long time and processed to extract the sugar. But that's not how people were able to eat them during the war, so they kind of just weren't the best food to eat. And tulip bulbs, they don't need a lot of cooking to be edible, but they don't usually have a lot of flavor, especially if they're dried, which these would have been, and they can be poisonous. So with famine upon them, in January of 1945, the State Office for Preparation of Food Distribution published a number of recipes teaching the citizens how to use tulip bulbs safely in cooking. There were recipes for tulip fritters, tulip soup, baked tulips, and instructions on how to use them as a flour substitute. Then there were several recipes for what's known as stamppot. This is a national dish of the Netherlands and can be made in many ways, but essentially it's mashed potatoes mixed in with some boiled vegetables, often served with sausage. But in January 1945, they were eating tulip bulbs to survive, so probably no sausage, which is why you don't see it in this recipe for stamppot with tulip bulbs. 1 kilogram of vegetables, 1/2 kilogram of potatoes, 1/2 kilogram tulip bulbs, salt, oil. Clean and finely chop the vegetables. Scrub the potatoes and quarter them. Clean the tulip bulbs. Put everything in a pot with a little water and salt. Boil for 30 to 45 minutes. Mash everything and add oil to taste. So except for the tulip bulbs and the lack of sausage, this is very similar to the modern version, except today it's often done where the potatoes and the vegetables are boiled separately and then brought together to mash. Here, it's all done in one pot, and that was because of lack of fuel, but that also led to my version becoming purple, because as one of my vegetables, I chose red cabbage, as red cabbage was mentioned in another 1945 recipe. So for this version, I used 1 kilogram or 2 pounds of red cabbage, kale and carrots, 1/2 kilogram or 1 pound of russet potatoes, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of oil. Any vegetable oil will work. I used rapeseed oil because that would have been common in the Netherlands at the time, and 1/2 kilogram or 1 pound of organic tulip bulbs. And they do need to be organic because most tulip bulbs are sprayed with a lot of pesticide and you don't want to be eating that. And finding them, even any tulip bulbs at this time of year, can be quite difficult. I had to go to several different garden centers just to find some. Never thought that I would be doing my grocery shopping at a plant nursery. Luckily, I don't do that much grocery shopping these days ever since I've started working with Hungryroot, today's sponsor. Hungryroot takes care of your weekly meal planning and your grocery shopping by recommending delicious and healthy recipes geared to your tastes. You tell them what you like to eat and your nutrition and health goals and preferences, and then they will curate a menu for you, do the grocery shopping, and deliver all of those ingredients right to your door. And what I love is that this allows you not to have to make a decision between convenience and nutrition. You get both with Hungryroot. Then they'll cover everything. You just tell them, I want you to handle 3 breakfasts, 5 lunches, and 5 dinners, and some desserts and snacks, and that's what they'll cover. So there's nothing that goes to waste. And for a limited time, Hungryroot is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off of your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Just click the link in the description or head to hungryroot.com and use my code TASTINGHISTORY. That's 40% off of your first box, plus you get a free item of your choice for life. Just head to hungryroot.com with my code TASTINGHISTORY. They have lots of options, though I don't think that tulips is one of them, so you're going to be on your own if you want to make this tulip dish. But once you've got your tulips, then it's time to prepare them so we don't poison ourselves. In fact, maybe let me do this and don't make this one at home. Lucky for me, the Office of Food Distribution did let citizens know how to prepare the tulips so they don't poison themselves. They say to peel the tulip bulbs, cut them in half, and remove the yellow sprout. And it is that last part that is the most important. So peel your tulip bulbs and then wash them well and cut them in half. And there's that yellow bit. That's what becomes the center of the flower, and that's what'll make you sick. So make sure to get it all out of the bulb before moving on to the next one. Once the bulbs are ready, then go ahead and clean your vegetables and the potatoes, and then chop the vegetables into small bits or strips in the case of the cabbage and the kale, and then chop your potatoes into small pieces. Note that today you would usually peel those potatoes, but in 1945, you weren't going to waste the potato peel. In fact, a lot of people went around to those people that did have enough food, that is the occupying Germans, and would gather up their discarded potato peels to make soup with it. Once all of your vegetables and potatoes are chopped, add them to a pot along with the tulip bulbs, and then scatter the salt over the top and add just enough water so you can see it through the vegetables. Everything will eventually wilt down, so you don't need to fill the whole thing with water. Set the pot over a high heat and bring it to a simmer, stirring the ingredients, and then let it cook down for about 40 minutes. And during that time, you want to give it a stir every once in a while, just so everything is nicely well cooked. And this is where I noticed that the water had turned purple, and I realized that this would indeed be a purple dish of potatoes. And I pictured in my mind's eye a Dutch family coming around a table, sitting down to this purple stamppot made with tulip bulbs, which they were going to eat to survive the hunger winter of World War II. In the late 1930s, the Dutch government realized that it was more and more likely that they would soon be at war with Germany. And so they began distributing food, rationing food, to make sure that people had enough to make it through the war. Even in 1940, as the Germans invaded the country, the State Office for Preparation of Food Distribution made sure everyone would have enough to eat. Foods like meat, eggs, and dairy largely disappeared and were replaced by vegetables and potatoes. And in April of 1941, even the potatoes were rationed. In fact, everything but fresh vegetables, fruit, and fish were rationed, and eventually even fish became rationed when the Germans put a ban on fishing in the North Sea. But for the majority of the war, the population remained well fed. There were some foods that completely disappeared, like foods that were grown outside of Europe, things like chocolate or coffee. Though they did have a coffee substitute available, usually it was made of a little bit of coffee and then a lot of filler with things like chicory or rye or actually ground up tulip bulbs. There's even a cartoon from 1941 titled Bulb Sunday, and it shows two tourists ordering coffees, to which the proprietor asks, "Did you want coffee of crocus, of hyacinth, or of real tulips?" But even with tulip bulbs having to be used for coffee, the majority of the diet in the Netherlands remained pretty steady, a lot more so than many of the other places under German occupation. Places like Greece, where most of the food was actually shipped out of Greece and back to Germany or to feed the Wehrmacht. But in the Netherlands, only about 3-4% of the food was shipped out in the first years of the war. Everything changed, though, when the Allies landed at Normandy in June of 1944. Through that summer, as the Allies advanced through France and Belgium, it became only a matter of time before the Netherlands too would be liberated. And on September 4th, the Reichskommissar overseeing the occupation of the Netherlands declared a state of siege, as radio broadcasts announced the liberation of the Dutch city of Breda. Now, that reporting actually turned out to be false, as Breda wouldn't be liberated for almost 2 months. But that didn't stop people from thinking that it had been liberated, and hence having huge celebrations in the streets. The next day, September 5th, was known as Dolle Dinsdag, or Mad Tuesday. And while many of the Dutch citizens began celebrating, the German occupiers and Dutch National Socialists began to panic, many fleeing, and with them, they took large amounts of stockpiled food and fuel. And in hindsight, it's just heartbreaking, because here, the people of the Netherlands thought that they were going to be liberated any day, that the war for them was over. But we know that the next few months were actually going to be the hardest part of the war for them. In addition to food and fuel being confiscated, so too were some of their people. Over 120,000 able-bodied men were taken from the Netherlands and sent to Germany as forced labor. And this was happening right when the potato harvest was coming about, and so a lot of the potatoes couldn't be harvested. Then on September 17, 1944, the Dutch Prime Minister, who was running the government in exile in London, called for a railway strike across his home country to help support Operation Market Garden, an Allied military operation meant to liberate the Netherlands and open the road to Berlin. The Dutch National Railways complied and shut down most of their operations. Unfortunately, while the Allies were able to liberate a few Dutch cities, the advance stalled after a German counteroffensive and Operation Market Garden collapsed, leaving the remaining Dutch people to face the wrath of the occupying Germans, who retaliated by putting an embargo on all food transports to the Western Netherlands. Between this, the rail strike, and the workers being sent to Germany during the potato harvest, it led to not nearly enough food being made available to the people, and rather quickly, there were shortages. Now, only just a few weeks after they put this embargo on shipping food to the West, they lifted it, but it was too late. Other factors led to more food shortages, or if there was food, not allowing it to get to where it needed to go. Things like the Germans blowing up docks and bridges to stop the advance of the Allies, or flooding entire areas of the country for the same reason. And then nature stepped in and decided that it was going to give Northern Europe one of the coldest winters in living memory, and so during January and February of 1945, many of the rivers and canals that crisscrossed the Netherlands froze, and so they couldn't even transport food by boat anymore. This is when people resorted to eating things like sugar beets, nettles, tulip bulbs, and even the potato starch that was typically used for laundry. By Christmas, things became very bad. We had to line up at a cart in the street that dispensed one ladle of tulip bulb soup per person per day. Even the half loaf of bread per person per week that we had received earlier was now no longer available. In parts of the West, an entire week's bread ration fell from a kilo in October to half a kilo in December, and by the end of the winter of 1945, only 400 grams per week. This, coupled with the kilogram of potatoes, was an adult's entire ration for the week, and so many were living on less than 500 calories a day. In addition, fuel was scarce as well, and so people were cutting down trees, and then they started using scrap wood from around town, and then tearing down their own houses, lifting floorboards and breaking down doors just to stay warm and to be able to heat their food. And to save on the fuel, rather than heating an entire big pot or something, they would make these small stoves out of coffee cans or small cans so they could just use a little bit of fuel to heat just a little bit of food. In cities like Rotterdam, Amsterdam, and The Hague, they did set up soup kitchens for people who couldn't make their food at home or just ran out of food for some reason. But supposedly, the food at these soup kitchens was all but inedible. It was usually a watery concoction of potatoes one day and cabbage the next. It never had an attractive smell. It was getting worse, and toward the end, we often had tulip bulb soup. This was an awful tasting and sickly smelling brew, but there was nothing else. One ate it under protest. He said it didn't smell good, and I can attest to that because this dish had a lot of cabbage boiling, and boiling cabbage really makes the house smell not great. Anyway, the famine reached its height in March of 1945, 7 months after the people thought that they were going to be liberated by the Allies. And it was only then that some help did come. First, it was in the form of Swedish bread. After several months of delays, shipments of flour arrived from the Swedish Red Cross, and it made its way to bakeries around the country. It was the first real bread many had seen in months or even in years, because it was all flour, and much of what they had been eating was a little flour, and then things like sawdust and other indigestible fillers. One diary entry from the Times said, "Just received bread and butter from the Red Cross. As soon as it was in the house, we took a slice of that fine white bread and the delicious margarine. It tasted like cake." This bread allowed for the ration to temporarily go from under 500 calories to almost 900 per day, but only lasted a couple weeks before it had to go back down. What really made a difference was the urging over several months of the Dutch government in exile, pleading with the leaders of the Allies to do something, to find a way to get food into the Netherlands. And this actually required negotiations between the Allies and the German occupiers. At first, it came in the form of some trains being allowed to go with food, mostly potatoes and wheat, into the western Netherlands. And then came Operation Manna and Operation Chowhound. These took place in April and May of 1945 and were made up of waves of Allied bombers and other planes dropping food over the cities of the Netherlands. The Dutch government had pleaded for months to allow something like this to happen, but the Allied leaders said that it couldn't because they were afraid that the food would actually just end up in the hands of the Germans, which had happened before, like when they sent aid to Greece sometime earlier. But eventually, Eisenhower decided, yes, we're going to send food in, but we're going to have to work with the Germans to make this happen. And so there was an agreement that the Allied planes would be unarmed, and as long as they followed a specific path, the Germans would not fire upon them. The Germans did fire upon some of them, occasionally, not as much as they probably would have, of course, but overall, it was a huge success, and in a matter of 10 days, from April 29th to May 8th, 11,000 tons of food were delivered to the Dutch people. Now, this did not end the hunger winter, but it did alleviate it. What really started to end it was the surrender of Germany on May 8th and the full liberation of the Netherlands. But even then, it took several months for people to get enough food to not be starving anymore. Over the hunger winter, 20,000 people died, and many, many more became very, very ill. And a lot of them experienced these illnesses throughout the rest of their life, including the actress Audrey Hepburn, who was in the Netherlands at that time as a child. She experienced anemia and respiratory illnesses related to the famine for the rest of her life. One interesting thing that came out of this situation was actually the discovery of the cause of celiac disease. See, a lot of people who had been diagnosed with the disease, but didn't know actually what caused it, stopped having symptoms during the famine. And then when that Swedish bread came in, they started having the symptoms again. This led a Dutch pediatrician to corroborate a previous hypothesis that wheat was the potential cause for the disease. Interesting, but little consolation to anyone who suffered through the hunger winter and was forced to survive by eating dishes like this stamppot made with tulip bulbs. So once your stamppot has cooked for about 45 minutes, drain as much liquid out as possible, and then mash it all up as you would for mashed potatoes. Add in the vegetable oil as well, which should help flavor the dish. And here we are, stamppot with tulip bulbs from the Dutch hunger winter of World War II. Now before I try this dish, I just wanted to thank Jeroen Wijnands, who is a viewer, for helping me with this entire episode. He actually found the recipe and helped me with translations and everything, so thank you very much for that. And now, let us try this stamppot. You know, a little bit of everything. It's actually kind of pretty, in a way. Tastes like mashed up vegetables and mashed potatoes, because that's what it is. Can't really discern any noticeable flavor of the tulip bulbs. Now, there are different types of tulip bulbs. They all have different flavors. Some I've heard are like milky and almost sweet. Some can be bitter. The dried ones tend to have very little flavor, and that's what they would have been eating during that winter. But it's all mixed in here. So I did save one that, kind of save one back just to see if it has any particular flavor. Here we go. Nice and soft. Okay. That has a flavor. Interesting. At first, dirt. Like, metallic dirt. Very metallic, actually. But then, kind of sweet. dirt. There is a sweetness to it. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of like that flavor. It's earthy. I would have never thought that there would be so much flavor actually in it. But it's not enough to really overcome all of the flavors in this, all of the other vegetables. Today, most of the recipes, modern recipes that I found for this, it's mostly potatoes and then a little bit of vegetables. This is mostly vegetables and then a little potato and a little tulip bulb. So it makes sense that the vegetables are the dominant flavor. So I think that it just kind of would depend on what vegetables you're using and how much tulip bulb you end up adding. For tulip soup, they actually wouldn't add pieces like this. They would grate the tulips and use it as a thickener. So I'm curious how that would affect the flavor, especially if it did have a rather strong flavor like this one. Again, really surprised at how strong this flavor is and how much I liked it. And I will see you next time on Tasting History.